But we are talking about really four essentials we feel like God has orchestrated and ordained for us to walk as individuals here in this earth. And that if we are going to be successful, we feel like we need to walk on these four things that need to be evident in our life. And Missy did a great job last week talking about kindness and what kindness is about. And it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. If there's no kindness, you don't turn. You don't turn. It was the mercy of God that even tapped you on the shoulder and said, you need me. So it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with his mercy tapping and saying, hey, let me in. It was the grace of God that drew you. And it's that grace of God that continues to draw you. And so kindness is a huge thing. And the second thing today we're going to talk about is investment. Investment. And why investment is so important. And you have to understand something about God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 32, this is a very key verse. And it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not alone, along with him, graciously give us all things? So Paul is writing and he's saying, listen, God did not spare anything when he gave up his son. Not only did he not spare anything, but as a side note, will he not graciously give you all things? If that weren't enough, if his son weren't enough, God is going to give you more. You know, you're called to rule and reign here on this earth. You are in training for reigning for eternity. This is not your final home. This is not your final resting place. So our eyes cannot be stayed upon what's happening now. We've got to be looking into our eternal home. So we need to understand certain things about that, that you here on this earth is temporary. It's temporary. But he said, I'm going to give you my son as an investment because without him, you can't do anything. And I'm going to talk in terms of some financial terms today. And those of you who are on the financial field, you understand where I'm coming from. And so you understand a little bit about what I'm talking about when I talk about investment. You yourself are an asset and liability to God. You're an asset and liability. You are valued by him so much so that he gave his best for you. Because he knew that if he didn't give his best, you wouldn't come to the recognition and the place of being reconciled back to him. It was impossible for reconciliation to take place on your own because when sin entered into the garden, there was a break in the law of God. And so God had to do something in order to fix that break. And he fixed the break by sending his son. Before he sent his son, there had to be a penalty for that break, and that penalty was death. Because if you remember, he took the clothes or the outer garment of an animal, and then he clothed Adam and Eve because their attempts at hiding were very futile. And God said, if we're going to cover it up, let's cover it up. And so he went to work, and there had to be a penalty because we know in the book of Romans talk about, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we know that the process of death entered into the world because of sin. Sin. God's heart and desire was for you to reign for eternity, and it's still his heart and his desire. But there had to be a penalty, and that penalty was death. You can argue with what the penalty is, but it doesn't take away that there's still a penalty. And so we look at through the Old Testament, through types and shadows, and coming into the New Testament of the foretelling of Jesus, and how through the work of prophets and priests and kings, that God was orchestrating his plan and his purpose, which he had beforehand for the world, through all what was happening in the Old Testament until the revelation of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is essential for your salvation. No Jesus Christ, no salvation. None. There is not another way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except, that's it. There's so much value in me, he said, that nothing can compare to me. There's no other way. I've looked. There's none. And so when God swears, he doesn't swear by heaven and earth. He swears by himself. That's why he says, I honor my word above my very name. He goes, when I say something, it's going to happen. When I act, who can reverse it? When I heal, who can take it away? When I deliver, or if I send you into bondage, who can reverse it? And whatever I do in your life, I do for you because I know I have an ultimate purpose in mind and I'm going to get glory from it. So if that means that you have to go through a season of testing, I'm going to allow you to go through a season of testing because in the end, I'm going to get the glory because I'm enough. I'm enough. And so don't try to dictate or determine how your way should be. I know how the way should be. So stop fantasizing about your life being different or trying to figure out, is there another way? No, he said, there is no other way. There is no other way. I'm invested in you. And so if I'm invested in you, you're going to get my best. Because I already know you're a value to me. I created. But at the same time, I know that you're a liability. I know you're a liability because you messed it up in the garden. And don't worry about it. I already had a plan and purpose in order to fix that because my son's going to come and fix it. But I know you're a liability. So much so that you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling because you're not perfect. You're not. I know that you're going to drift off into wilderness experiences and decide whether or not it's worth following me. I already know that. I already know that you're going to curse me to yourself and not anybody else because God forbid they hear. I already know that you're going to question whether or not I am the way, the truth, and the life. I already know you're going to question whether or not I'm worth it. I already know. You're a liability to me. I already know that you can mess up what I put into play. What does that mean? You can't mess up God's ultimate plan, but you can screw up. How many people have had kids out of wedlock? How many kids have had kids that were not planned? How many people who have been divorced and hear my heart today, and that was not their ultimate plan? How many people who didn't choose God's best, but they wanted theirs? And had to walk through a time in wilderness in order for God to heal you and get you back where you needed to be. So, yeah, you messed up. You done messed up. You done messed up. It doesn't mean that God can't fix the mess. Because he works all things together according to his good plan and his good purpose. He knows how to do it, but it doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. You're a liability to God. That's why the book of 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you confessed? I don't know about you, but when I look back at my life, the weight scale is good over bad. It has nothing to do with your weight scale. Because even in the intent of your heart, you've sinned. And so when God looks at you, he doesn't necessarily look at your actions. Gary, the mic's going crazy, if you can help me. He looks at the motives. And so you have to understand certain things about God that are essential to your walk. And I think one of the first things we have to understand is God is God and we're not. And so understanding that is important because it'll give us a framework to walk with sober judgment. Sober judgment is essential for your walk as a Christian because you'll begin to understand that my life is not my own and I can't do life without Christ and that his grace is needed in my life because there are going to be at times that I'm going to miss the mark. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. Salvation is one thing, but working out my salvation is another thing. I'm glad that I have the W. I'm glad that I sit in victory, but I still have to walk it out. It doesn't mean it exonerates me from walking this life of faith. I'm not exonerated from trials. I'm not exonerated from temptations. I have to walk through difficulty. That's just life. I don't get a pass on that. Even though the cross gave me victory, I still have to walk in victory and obtain victory. That's what makes sporting events exciting for people. The outcome is to be determined. The goal is to get the W, but you still have to play in the game. God is not going to lift you from the cradle to the grave and allow you to miss all the stuff in between that's going to give you the wings and the strength that you need to win at life and to learn what eternity is going to look like. God's not going to do that. Why do you think there were thousands of years even before Jesus came? He didn't send Jesus three chapters in. Because it's not about the quick fix. He didn't send them. He said, we're going to wait. We're going to go through 39 books until he gets sick of all the sacrifices. It's like, we got to send the son. Until finally he shows up. And still when he showed up, it was still 33 years later before he did the job. Because he had to learn, walk, and talk like you. Oh, that's not biblical. Yes, he is. He was fully God, yet he was fully man. So that he can now empathize and sympathize with your weakness. He had to play in the game just like you do. So that there would be no doubt that he was who he says he was. No doubt. There is no doubt. You cannot think that God is one thing and not the other. You cannot say, well, God is deity, but he has no idea how to relate to me. Yes, he does. He took care of that. Tempted in all points like you. So now that you have someone who can empathize with you, so when you're struggling and saying help, he says, I got you because I know. Who do you think carries you in the moments when you can't carry yourself? It's not your strength. It's him, because you're called to a walk, and this walk is hard and it's difficult. And there are stories of people that have survived insurmountable odds and overcome, but it did not come without a fight, and it did not come without them going through some stuff. I don't care. If someone tells you that they have made it this far and they have not gone through anything in their life, they are either made up or lying to you. Because when I read the Bible and I look at it, I see suffering, I see endurance, I see difficulty. Then I see life at the end of that. He wasn't just about saving. It was about him helping people understand a new way of life and what God's purpose was. And anytime you try to help people think differently, it's a process. Because you get stuck in a certain pattern of doing things, and he comes to try to renovate that thought process so you can understand who he is and what he wants. It's not your life, it's what God wants. And so you're in this process that is taking place in your life, but it does not come without difficulty. It does not come without pestilence. It does not come without going through a pandemic. Compared to other countries, you've had it easy. You don't realize how blessed you are. You don't realize how blessed you are. This is talking about one nation under God. You don't realize how blessed you are to have the freedoms you have in this country now. You don't realize that other countries and what have gone through and what they have had to deal with over the years. I'm not just talking about recently of the bondage, what they've had to actually go through. You're in a free country, and right now you can praise God openly and publicly with minimal ridicule. You're not being thrown into dungeons and thrown into prisons and say, open your mouth again and it'll end your life. You're not there yet. You have the ability to do that. And so I want to help shake you out of that a little bit. And so you can get out of this complacency where it's like, I have it so bad. You don't have it bad. You don't have it bad. I think about people right now who are suffering for the gospel's sake that they have to hide in order to profess. And we have a hard time lifting up our hands because we got hit with something and somebody said something. We have a hard time lifting up our hands because it's just too hard. America has grown complacent, apathetic, and God said, that's enough. That's enough. So why do you think that God has allowed the squeeze so that something can change? Don't you think that God allows us to squeeze so that you can look at him differently? And this is not popular, but you got to understand something about God's heart. God is bringing people to, things are coming to a tipping point because God wants change. Change. I've invested in you, my son, and this is what I get. This isn't for a local church. This is masses today. A token praise and giving back your life. But maybe if it's comfortable, I'll do it. But if it's not, I won't. God said, that's not my heart. I want your life. But Lord, I can't give up what I'm dealing with and the compromise that I'm, it feels too good. And that's the problem. If my son on the cross would have went by feelings, you wouldn't be here today. Because he had the power to call some angels out and say, come on, come get me. He didn't do it because he knew that it was necessary for this to take place because this was the way. And that's why I believe God did it that way, so you can understand the cost, so that you don't do life half-heartedly with him and don't decide that, well, it's worth it if I feel it. And if I don't feel it, it's not worth it. And God says, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And if it's too hard, good. Because God's raising up a remnant and raising up a church who are going to speak the truth, and so that they understand the reality of a walk with Christ. It is not some weak, it is not some token type of praise when you're talking about walking with Jesus. You're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a God who created you, who knows the thoughts and intents of your heart from afar off. But it's okay. It's okay if I tamper with my identity, because I'm a creative. It's okay if I mess with the system and how it's supposed to work, because who's God anyway? And so much so that God will allow you to have it your way just to see the result. But if you ever get tired of having it your way and say, okay, God, I want it your way, God will take you up on the offer, but it requires your life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. This is your reasonable, it's the least thing you can do. I really can't give because I just don't have it and I'm uncomfortable. Who taught you that life would be easy? Who taught you following Christ would be easy? Who taught you that? What scheme are you believing? What lie have you bit into that has softened your perspective when it comes to a real walk with God? A real walk. To where it becomes to praising God is difficult because if it's not easy, I can't do it. You're never going to convince me. You're never going to convince me that you can't do something. Never. You're never going to convince me that you can't break past certain limitations in your life that have always been there. You're not going to convince me. Why? Because I've seen the value of it in my own life, and I've seen the truth of what it does. You're never going to convince me. Can't doesn't work with me. And it doesn't work with God. It doesn't work with God. I'm insecure. So what? I need you to sing. I got to establish some boundaries in my life. It's going to be difficult, but go ahead and do it because I need you to do it because your freedom is more important to me than you walking like you're walking. When have you ever, when has your excuse ever worked with God? I want you to think about that. When has it ever worked? If God could send a fish to find a man on a boat going in the opposite direction, God could find you in your house doing what you're not supposed to be doing and say, hey, by the way, I remember what I asked you to do. If God could find that guy, and you don't think he could find you? If God has to speak to you in the hospital bed, he'll allow you to get to the hospital bed so he can speak to you. Don't think that, well, I'd rather die. I'd rather die than have God speak to me. You think that's silly? I'd rather do the opposite of what God told me to do, because it's better that way, because at least I know I have control of the outcome. You don't have control of any outcome. You don't have control. I don't care how much you dress it up. I don't care how much you try to fix it or make it up. You don't have any control on any outcome. You can try to put stuff in your hair so your hair doesn't fall out, but it can still fall out. 15 years later, you did all that work and you're still bald. It doesn't matter. It's still the outcome. I don't care. You can shave your legs until you got no hair, but guess what? Next week, you'll do it again. Okay? Because the outcome, you try to control it and you try to do the best you can, but the outcome, you don't know the outcome. You don't know it. And even in the outcome, you may not even like the outcome that God asked you to actually be obedient in. I don't like the fact that you want to save him, Lord, so I'm going to hit and sit under a tree. That's what Jonah did. And the Lord was gracious, and remember that little tree grew up over him to give him some shade. But then God said, okay, I've had enough. And then the tree, God ripped it out and said, okay, keep moving. Your liability. God was either going to cut his losses with that guy or get him back to where he needed to be. Reconcile him back to his purpose. I know you're trying to go real far, but I want to get you all the way back to your purpose. I don't care where you go, I'm going to get you back. Assets and liabilities. Many of you in here right now have been through that process, and you went way out, and God, in his grace, brought you back to where you needed to be, because God has a plan and a purpose, and that purpose cannot be thwarted. It cannot be thwarted. So what you have to do is that you have to be able to manage your debt. And this is what this looks like. You have a debt that you owe God. And that's your life. You have a life debt. You have a life debt. And that means that you're going to have to, on a regular basis, present your life back to him as a living sacrifice. And not just one time. I did it once. Amen. I'm in the book of life. No. You're going to have to do it on a regular basis, because he's going to constantly ask you, I need more of you. So you got to manage that debt. And what does that look like for you? I don't know. You got to work it out. Because when God asks you to do something specifically, he's asking you to do something specifically. You know, there have been times where I looked at myself and I'm like, there's no one else God is asking me to do. I'm doing it. He's asking me. When God looks at you, he's looking at you. He knows when he's not looking at someone behind you. I'm looking at you. Hi, how are you? Good, awesome. So this is what I like you to do. Okay? You know, you've been in that awkward situation when someone's waving at you from afar. You're like, me? Oh, no. Oh, sorry. It's that guy over there. God doesn't do that. When God looks at you, he knows it's you. And you know, and you're really walking with him, you know how he gets your attention. You know it's God. Lord, I don't know what that is. You know it's God. You know when it's the enemy. You know when it's God. Because all the other voices, yes, sir. And it's not a matter of whether or not God is speaking, he is speaking. It's whether or not how high your frequency is tuned. And do you like what you're hearing? Because you're tuning into a lot of things, but when God speaks, God will override that. And you know when God speaks, because all that other stuff will come down and you'll be able to say, okay, that's God. That is God. Why? I know him. That's a familiar voice. We're not talking about some guy in the street who you never met. We're talking about God who speaks specifically and who impresses you to do certain things. We're talking about God. Debt management. You know, the thing that you think is dead and you're like, okay, thank God you forgot about it. But then all of a sudden, there it is again. Okay. Because it's, remember, that's, I called you to do that. That's, remember, it's Lord. That's like, whoa, that's big. My eyes, yeah, I know. I need you to see with the eyes of faith that called you to do that. I didn't make a mistake when I called you. So I have to do the work in order to get myself in a position in order to hear God clearly and move with God. And so if God has given you permission to walk in peace in this season, guess what? Walk in peace. If you were in the fight of your life this season, guess what? You're in the fight of your life this season. You're not getting out until you learn what you need to learn. Well, that is not very fun. That's biblical. You're not getting out until God says you're getting out. I can remember there have been times in my life I was trying to pray to get out, and I didn't get out until I learned what I needed to learn, and then God released me out. There are certain things you cannot pray yourself out of. No matter how bad you try to do it, you can't pray. You can praise your way through it. Some things just have to take place. I didn't mean to pass out of my shower on those 8 days that had COVID. Some things just had to take place. I had to get some stuff done. You all laugh. Stuff happens. Because you look at this Christian walk, you're like, man, it is so great when I see people just walking in victory. It is so great when I see them. They're just, oh, the joy of the Lord is their strength, and it's just so good. You have no idea. You got no idea. Debt management. You got no idea what is required of them. You got no idea. And so for you to actually look at that and envy their life is counterproductive for you. Because there are a couple questions you have to ask yourself. One, am I them? No. Two, can I walk through what they walk through? No, not without the grace of God. Debt management. I gotta manage my debt. And that means I gotta manage my life. And you have a hard time enough managing your life. Why would you want to do someone else's life? I'm trying to manage what God's telling me to manage, and it's big, and now I want to pull you in. Hey, I'd really love to manage your debt too. What's God asking you to do? Come on in. Let's do it together. I'm grateful for the people that God has sent into my life, but I can't manage their debt too. You got to work that out yourself. Third thing, we got to diversify. What does that mean? You got to take what you know about God and you got to put it in your little book. David said this, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't you think that God wants to show you a different facet of who he is? Not just one. And so when you're going to sell someone on Jesus, when you're talking to people about Jesus, there need to be certain things about Jesus that you know. There are certain things I know about you. This is Jesus, man. I know him. He's done this for me. He's done this. And that's a good thing. But there are other things that God wants to actually reveal about himself. And so the only way that you diversify is that you go through some other things. And you got to change out some of your funds. And that means that you got to change out some of the things that you're doing in your life that God says, okay, you've got that down. Let's try something else. That means some of you guys, you know God is healer, and that's great. That's great. He says, but this season, I want to show you I'm provider. Yeah, next season, yeah,
strong tower. Little by little, guess what? Your portfolio is getting bigger. Oh, yeah, I saw him there. Provider, yep. Mm-hmm. Healer, oh, man. Grace of God, nothing compares to it. Lover, I was so lonely that he filled my heart. Oh, my God. Love, oh, my God. Joy, I can't even believe the joy I have. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I used to be depressed, but I got joy now. And before you know it, guess what? Your book's getting fuller. Getting fuller now. Now you got all this stuff. So now when you talk to people, like, what is up with you? I'll tell you what's up with me. I know him. And so God will begin to send you to different people because everyone is working with different stuff. And so you can't just take one thing and be like, well, I'm going to go one thing. That's all I do. He's my provider. He's my provider. This person doesn't need to know that he is your provider. What they need to know is that he's a healer. You got to diversify. Expand. That's why you can't rely on old stuff. He's not there anymore. He's doing something new. And so stuff that he's done in your life, you're grateful for. That's just something that you add to it. So when you start to play in life, you actually also have an arsenal that you can come against your enemies with. So every time the enemy comes in and tries to tell you that this is who God is and accuse you, no, he's not. Guess what? He's my lover, man. Sorry. And so you get built up in your strength. So as the enemies come in, you're able to shed those blockers and you're able to continue to move on. The problem we got in the body, not a lot of progress because the enemy's coming in and we're getting hit and we're dropping. We're dropping. It's almost like this. I was watching a movie the other day and this one kid, this is the game of football. This one kid, every time he had the ball and defenders were coming, he'd do this. What's the point? The point is to carry what you've been given through the line, to break through the enemy's line to get and make progress. That's the point. The point is not to drop the ball. I've got to learn to carry what I have, smuggle it, continue to move forward and run the next play because the enemy is coming at me from different ways. Isn't the joy of winning that? The joy of winning is that I'm taking what I got and I'm moving forward and I'm making progress. There's something about that. That doesn't mean the enemies don't stop, but I got to keep going. But that does nothing. This is what's happening in the body right now. I don't know, I guess he's good. It's too much. It's too much. Instead of taking it and going forward, taking it, getting hit, taking it, getting back up, taking it, doing something different, taking it, shedding a blocker, taking it, putting on the armor, taking it, standing in faith, taking it, declaring God's goodness. It becomes very disheartening to God. I've given you the keys. I've invested in you. I've given you my son. Take that knowledge. Take what I've shown you and go. Today is probably one of the biggest days of the year. More people watch the Super Bowl than a lot. Let's just say that. Let's say that. The emphasis is on the game. It's on the game. It's supposed to be. The game. The goal of the game is to win. You did all that work to get here. Why would you not attempt to finish what you put all that work in to do? It all got you here. Go out, play the game. Do what you know you need to do to put yourself in a position to win. Will there be mistakes? Yes. Pick the ball back up and run the next play. Because you don't know the outcome. I want you to imagine getting in a huddle with one of the guys and your quarterback's like, guys, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't. I mean, I got, it's coming out of both ends and I just can't do it. Okay. A lot of people right now and I just can't do it. What they would do is tell them, pull yourself together, man. You got to run a play, dude. That's the body. COVID, I can't do it. I can't do it. Why? Oh, it revealed where you really are. That's the problem. I can't use you. Come over here. Oh, that's your motive? I'm sorry. I can't use you. I like what I see in you, though. Come over here. You don't think God separates? You don't think God looks and says, okay, I like what I see? At least you're trying. You're struggling, but you're trying. I like it. Come on. Keep coming. You don't think that's what a team looks for? Oh, at least this guy's trying. He's busting his butt and he's struggling. But, you know, I'll take that. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that. Sharon, I'll take you. I'll take you. I like your heart. I've always liked your heart, your tenacity. I'll take you. I like you. Part of this team, right? Craig, I'll take you. I like you. I like your heart. Why? Because I see it in, I see the heart. But God, so God separates. When God's looking to pick his team, he's looking for people who are willing. They don't have to be perfect. He picked 12 nobodies. But they took the ball. And here we are today reading what they did. They got hit. They tried to disown him. Nevertheless, God called him back and said, you got it. You got what it takes. You got it. You've been with me? That's enough. And even if that's not enough, guess what? I'm going to bring the Holy Spirit. He's coming. He's coming. Don't worry about it. And you know what the Holy Spirit is. If you look in Ephesians, he's the down payment. You know, the Holy Spirit's a down payment on the promise of your inheritance. God says, you don't have it yet, but guess what? Take him. He's my promise. He's my promise that it's coming. So you got the blood of Jesus who's washed you. And now you have the Holy Spirit as a down payment. What can stop you? What else are you looking for? Well, my emotions are erratic. Stand up. Learn to walk in faith. Learn to come against it. Learn to do it when you don't feel like doing it. Learn to do it when you're crying. Learn to do it when it's hard. Just do it. And all of a sudden, God will begin to build stuff and break stuff off in you because faith has that effect. It'll help you override your senses and do it anyway. Do it. And all of a sudden, you find yourself walking in power. I got more joy. Yeah, you do. Why? You chose joy. You chose joy. I chose to lift my hands. And guess what? Things changed. And all of a sudden, my attitude began to change. And I felt strength. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Tap into him. Tap into him. The blood already has you justified. I don't walk in condemnation. Now I need to walk in power. Diversify. I got the condemnation thing down. I'm saved. Now, what about this Holy Spirit? What else do I got? Graciously give you all things beside himself. What else is in there, Lord? What else? What else? What else? If I got through that, I get some more stuff, and I know there's some more stuff in there. I know there's some more stuff. There's stuff that you made room. There are things inside that you've done. What else you got? I got some stuff flowing through me right now. But you don't get that unless you take the ball and you start running. And hold on to what you got so when you get hit, it stays with you. If I can knock the ball out of your hands while you're running or standing, it's not part of you like it should be. If I can take your resilience or your faith just by accusing you of something you did 15 years ago, you're not where you need to be. If I could break your stance by telling you off and about what you're not, then you're not as strong as I think you are. Because when you're in the game and when you're in the pile underneath, they're punching, they're grabbing, they're hitting. And if you can't take that, we're not going to make it very far. Because you got to get up from that pile, and guess what? It's third down. That's where the fight is, folks. It's down here. It's down with the punching and the grabbing and the scratching. It's down here. It's not up here when via Instagram and social media we're like, man, I just had the best croissant at the place. It's not there. It's not there. I give this place 3 stars. If you're looking for a place, they're the place. It's not there. It's down here. It's down here. When he's shouting in your ear, you're not going to make it because you're a loser and because you're not strong enough. It's down there. Oh, yeah, it is. Guess what? I'm bigger now. I'll get down here with you. It doesn't matter. You don't want to hit this guy. You don't want to come here. It's down here. It's in the gym when no one's looking. And you're putting in your time. So when you get to the field, you're ready to go. That's where the stuff... Where's all the work gone? Did all this work? You get to the big game. I can't function. I can't perform. Why? You haven't allowed God to fill the areas of life that are necessary to actually play in this thing. You worship good, but it wasn't from your heart. We got a lot of people. I'm talking long today, but I'm cool with it. So you got a lot of people doing this. Everyone's worshiping. They're worshiping. There's no depth. It's fanfare. Man, it's awesome. I got to have at least 1,000 people, no less, in order for me to worship. You're missing out on the point of worship, man. So, it's like social club. I got to be in my social club, man. I got to have my people because I can worship God, man. It is awesome when I got them with me. You're missing out on the part. You start worshiping them because that's what you're really saying. And you can't do it by yourself. You can't worship God by yourself. When you get out in the field and there are 55, 75, 80,000 people yelling at you, telling you that you suck and that you won't do it, and you can't run your route, it's a problem. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on. So now I got all this stuff going on. I got a bunch of people who are listening to me, but I'm still dealing with porn. You got to still be able to run the play, tune out the voices, and do what God's called you to do. Diversify. Allow God to get in the places and fix some stuff so that when you actually are in the game and you're actually doing what God's calling you to do, you don't crumble because secretly you're living a lie. That's the place you need to be. Say what you want about him. Brady did it for a long time. He was successful. I don't care what you say. What will they say about you? What are you the goat at in your life? If you can't do it under pressure, you can't do it. What does that mean? Well, that means this. When persecution comes, if you can't stand up for Christ, you can't do it. It's not real enough for you. Not real enough. I want Jesus, but I want him at my own terms. I like the afar version of him because if I get up close, then I know it has to change. And that's what happens, what we do. If I get up close, I know when he sees me, I know I'm not going to be able to say the same. Exactly. That's why he's trying to get your attention and get you face to face. Face to face. Pandemic, COVID, everyone went into the corners and he wanted him in the corners so we can, the trainer could start talking again to you. Face to face, not from afar. Social media is a great thing, but it's a distraction. From afar, what's going on? Who cares? Okay, what's he saying about me right now? You need that so that when you get in life, you can actually see what's happening. You can start to pull down deception. You can start to speak against lie. You can start to walk in power. A lot of people, you take their phone down, they start to shake. Because what happens, there's no strength. Strength, man. You need strength, strength, strength. When it really comes down to it, are you who you say you are? And if you are, good, because God's going to test it. And not just God, but the people down the pile are going to test it too. Oh, you're a Christian? Good. Yeah? That's good. All right, I see. Am I making sense to you? If you can't hold your own in a conversation and you don't know how to rebut or you crumble because you're afraid about what someone's going to say about you, you got work to do. If you can't walk in faith when everybody else around you is crumbling because they don't feel right, you got some work to do. If your walk with God is not where it needs to be because of what somebody else is doing, then we need to adjust our lens a little bit. Got to. Sharon, is power, love, and self-control is the end game? Don't you think those three things are going to be tested and worked on? Going to be worked on. If fear is the opposite of faith, the enemy is not going to come at you where you're strongest. Even though if it's not guarded, it is considered a double weakness. We can talk about that. But also, if fear is his game, we have to be aware of how he plays that game. Let's all stand on our feet. Ben, come on up. Diversify. Diversify. Listen, the enemy is... the enemy is erratic. He's erratic. God is not chaotic, but he can move in chaos. He's in total control. The enemy is erratic. So if we can't strengthen ourselves in the midst of it, we are missing out on graciously give us all things part of the scripture. Not just himself, all things. You've given me peace that passes understanding. God is not intimidated by you. He's not intimidated by anything. And so if we are walking or supposed to walk in his image, what are we allowing to intimidate that should not be? Sometimes it's a matter of you going through a season so you can break out of that cycle in your life. And God loves you enough for you to learn that lesson. Learn that lesson. I want you to break out of that cycle, but I need you to walk through it and I need you to fight through it because it's going to be good for you if you allow yourself and allow me to do it. It's not going to come any other way. I love you. It's just not going to come any other way unless you fight through it. God has never magically delivered me for something, magically. His grace has been sufficient in that deliverance process. But most of the time, I had to fight my way through it. Because he wanted me to see the value that I have. So that when the next time I was threatened with that thing,
I wouldn't bow to it because I see now what I have. That's why investment is huge. If he didn't spare his own son, if he gave us his best, and in that son is everything that we need to be victorious, don't you think that God would prefer you to walk in victory and to walk in all the blessings that come along with that relationship as opposed to you walking in fear and succumbing to the tactics of the enemy, even though the enemy pulls and he punches and he hits below the belt? Don't you think that God would rather you take those hits and keep going? Do you know that greater is he, again, that is in you? That you're going to hear that all year, all year. Until eventually your portfolio is big enough that it pushes him out. So now he's trying to reach you and he's got to get through all these things. Oh, no, they got that built now. He has to get through healer. He's got to get through provider. He's got to get through joy. He's got to get through peace. He's got to get through wisdom. He's got to get through all that. And that's difficult. Because the more you get built, the harder it is for him to get in. The more. But what are you building on right now? What are you building on? If we're not building on the strong foundation, then we won't be able to handle the next level of hits. And they're coming. But we got to build on that foundation. Lord, for every person in this room, as they begin to diversify, Lord, I pray that you give them the strength to hold up under that pressure. Lord, as you're building in them the roads that are necessary for them to carry the load that you called them to carry, I pray that you would strengthen them for the upcoming fight. Lord, we know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I pray for a supernatural empowerment of your spirit, that they would have an understanding of what you came to give them. And Lord, that if you are enough, I pray that they would recognize that you are enough. Lord, fill the cracks of their life. Fill them all. I pray for such a level of power that the enemy would have no occasion to thwart the progress, Lord, that you have helped them achieve in their life. Lord, I pray for a level of love that would break down walls. Help them to understand their value. Lord, I pray for soundness of mind. Lord, I pray for such a strength in their mind, Lord, that their head game would be strong. Thank you, God, for the ability to break down strongholds, cast down imaginations, things that try to exalt itself against your knowledge. I thank you, Lord, for those things coming into alignment. And our ability to take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. I thank you that thoughts have to submit to us because who's inside of us? I thank you, Lord, that the enemy has to submit to us because it's who's inside of us. Let me ask you this. How many are on another level right now? You feel like you're on another level. All right. Come on. Yeah, it's all right. Done. If you're on it, you're on it. It's good. Lord, for those who are on another level, thank you for giving them the grace to stay there. Sustain them. Give them the tools for the next round. And as they continue, Lord, to see you for all that you are, Lord, and that you continue to open their eyes to what you have for them, I pray that what you have and the pull of what you have is going to be greater from what their former life had. That there will be no occasion for them to turn back. There'll be no Jonas in this room. No Jonas. That when you call, we're going to say yes. And then that yes is going to catapult us into all the fullness that you have for us in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.